Lots to get done in this third and final hour. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. Good morning, good afternoon. What's going on wherever you are? I'm live in Southern California. This program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Busy, busy third hour. Coming up next segment, Pittsburgh Steelers linebacker Devin Bush. Coming up in the third segment this hour, Washington Nationals catcher and a 2019 World Series champ, Kurt Suzuki. But as promised, we start this hour off by having a conversation with a D-end with the Detroit Lions. He is a two-time Super Bowl champion, the NFL leader in postseason sacks over the past three seasons, four tackles and a couple of sacks, plus a forced fumble in that Week 8 win over the Giants. On the season, 26 tackles, three sacks, two forced fumbles. He was the 101st pick overall in 2015 out of Arkansas. The Lions are at Oakland on Sunday. Trey Flowers is my guest. Trey, it's so good to have you on. How are you?
Good. How's it going?
Good, man. Great.
All right.
Listen, I know you're focused on Oakland, but you were coming off a monster game against the Giants. Can I get your thoughts? Going into that game, the team was coming off some tough results. So what was the mindset of the team as you got ready for that game against the Giants?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was 1 week at a time. We understood that it was a long season. It was early in the season, so, you know, obviously, you know, it was three-game losing streak, things like that. So, but we just took it one game at a time, and, you know, went out and prepared well, and, you know, we came out and executed on Sunday, so.
Trey Flowers, my guest. I'll say, you especially in the fourth quarter, you had a lead in the fourth. New York was driving. They get down to your 43-yard line. Then on first down, you have a sack and a forced fumble. New York gets the fumble. They drop back to pass again, and then you had a sack on second down. Take me back. What do you remember about that two-play sequence?
It was just understanding that situational football, obviously, you know, they was down in the fourth quarter. So, you know, just them having to run or making them run. I mean, not run, but pass the ball. So, understanding that and just, you know, getting your best pass rush or your best get off and, you know, knowing that. And, you know, as I put off the lineman, you know, I obviously wanted to, you know, turn a good play into a great play. So, I went ball, but unfortunately, you know, they jumped on me. But, you know, and so the next play, you know, I just continue to, you know that, you know, they were in an even tougher situation. So, you know, you can hear his back and you just, you know, rush past it again. So,
Trey, on that first play, you went with a bull rush and a snatch. And then on the second play, you skipped the snatch and you kept going with the bull rush. So as a pass rusher, how much of that is a game of chess between you and the tackle? For instance, are you planning those moves before the play or is it all read and react?
Yeah, it's definitely a bit of a chess match. Obviously, you know, you prepare yourself throughout the week and see, you know, how the offensive tackle or offensive lineman blocks or how his head is or how he shoots his hands and things like that. So you prepare going into the game. And then obviously, you know, in the game, you got to get a feel of it. If you hit him with, you know, the one move multiple times, obviously you're setting up, you know, something else. So, you know, you just got to play it to as much as such. So.
Trey Flowers joining us. Listen, the Lions official Twitter account recently had this great video of your high school highlights, which they posted with some commentary from you. On one of the plays, you dropped what you called your Paul Molitor move, where you're playing D-line and you dove over the heart of the offensive line. You sacked the quarterback. You forced a fumble. I would argue, though, Trey, that your version of the Polamalu was even tougher than his because he had a running start. You just elevated out of your stance.
Yeah.
What do you remember about that? What happened on that play?
You know, I just kind of timed up the snap, and, you know, obviously I wasn't in a position if so I was on a D-line, so, and I was just, I really just didn't work, you know, just try it out, you know, being in high school, on TV, just trying to do it, I tried it out, and it actually worked. I wanted to get the fumble, but they jumped on it, but, you know, it was a cool little play.
Hey, man, you never know unless you try. You got to try, and it did work. Now, you're also blocking field goals. You're playing tight end. You made the point that if you liked offense, a little more, you might have made a good tight end. What do you like about defense more than offense?
Just the physicality. Obviously, you know, it's a type of aggression you got to have, you know, going after the person with the ball. And I understand that aggression. So, you know, one of the things is about, I just know I couldn't be an offensive guy knowing guys like me trying to kill them. So, you know, I'm better fit on the dark side, just going after being a hammer, not the nail, so to speak. So, that's what I like more.
I like that, man. Better being the hammer than the nail. Trey Flowers joining us. So you won a pair of rings with the Patriots, and as I mentioned off the top, you are leading the league in postseason sacks the past 3 years. So in the offseason, you had a number of teams that were interested in you. What was it about the Lions that made you feel like that was the best fit?
Obviously, Matt Patricia here, you know, coming from the Patriots. Just the familiarity with him and just knowing that, you know, that the mentality and the culture that, you know, he came from and he's trying to establish, you know, it's just one of those deals that, you know, I wanted to help him along the way and, you know, him kind of help me as well. So, you know, it was just a situation came up, time for a change, and, you know, and I just upset my.
Hey, Trey, as part of that change, like, you've had a lot of success in the postseason, but now you're coming to a team that has not won a playoff game in a long time. So when you looked at that opportunity in Detroit, how much of that was about coming to help a team win, and then how much of that was coming to help guys learn how to win?
Yeah, it was definitely big. Obviously, you know, with my experience and things like that, just knowing what it takes as far as to win or to get to, you know, where every team want to be at the end of the year. You know, just coming and implementing that culture, I guess, that attitude that, you know, separates, you know, average teams from great teams. So, and obviously, you know, Matt Patricia understands that and he, you know, likes to implement it. And, you know, I'm just here to help and here to help my team win as best as I can. So.
Just a couple of things before you go, because as part of your reputation, everywhere you've been, people rave about your work ethic. As an example, Brendan Daly, who coached with you with the Patriots, said, quote, Trey Flowers is one of the hardest working guys I've ever had the privilege to coach. You name it, he does it. He's in the building during days off. He's getting an extra workout in. He's studying tape. He's getting other guys to go with him after practice. You can talk with our community relations folks. I don't think he's ever said no to them. How much of this work ethic comes from your family and you getting started in the family construction business early on?
Yeah, it definitely taught me a lot. You know, like you said, I worked construction with my dad, and, you know, it was the summers wasn't an average summer for, you know, 9-year-old kid. You had to go to sleep early and wake up early. You know, you get on top of buildings and put up walls, put up shingles, things like that. So, you know, it was just something that was implemented at a young age. Kind of fell in love with it, you know, just, you know, I talk about it all the time, just the feeling of coming home, the long days of work, getting a shower, getting a good meal from your mom, then going to sleep, that's, you know, that's what my whole summer was about. But, you know, you just kind of tend to like it. So, obviously, you know, me growing up in that environment obviously helped me and taught me a lot about hard work and, you know, hard work and results. And, you know, that's what I like to implement throughout my daily life. So.
Trey Flowers joining us. And then, Trey, finally, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And you recently did a video where you read a letter that you wrote to your sister, Jazz, who's a cancer survivor. What was it like to go through that with her? And how much did you learn from how she handled her battle? Why don't you, Trey, go ahead. Can I get you to start that again? You broke up for a minute, and I want to make sure you answer that.
Oh, yeah. It was definitely an experience watching her go through that at a young age. And, you know, her just having a young age. You know, she was always positive throughout. Obviously, it was some hard times. You know, she remained smiling. She remained positive. And, you know, kind of show me, you know, to the as far as, you know, all these tough days that I feel like I'm, you know, she's fighting even tougher battles. So, you know, there's nothing that, a battle that, you feel as though can't overcome because, you know, she you know, fought a bigger battle and, you know, she accomplished and achieved it. So, you know, she definitely inspired me.
You bet, and I appreciate your thoughts on that. He is a two-time Super Bowl champion, a defensive end with the Detroit Lions, the NFL leader in postseason sacks over the past 3 years. Detroit coming off a big win. They've got another one against Oakland on Sunday. Trey, so good to have you on. I really appreciate that conversation so much, Trey. Thank you.
All right, thanks for having me.
Great talking to you, Trey. Trey Flowers. All right, talking some Lions football. He's got a couple of rings. Extremely well-respected guy. We are going back to back and back again. When we return, Steelers linebacker Devin Bush is my guest. And then we'll tag the entire thing with a conversation with Kurt Suzuki of the Nationals. Say hello to Casper, the sleep company with outrageously comfortable products that help everybody sleep and live better. From award-winning mattresses to pillows, bedding, and furniture, Casper is transforming the way we sleep. With over 50,000 five-star reviews, it is the most beloved and trusted sleep company there is. And do not lose sleep over finding the perfect bed. The four layers of premium foam are designed to provide pressure relief for all-night comfort. And their zone support has the extra support to keep your back aligned. If you need some time to decide, just go ahead and sleep on it. Casper mattresses come with a 100-night risk-free trial. Rest easy with free shipping and free returns. Get the mattress of your dreams like I did. Go to Casper.com. Use the code Rome for $100 towards the purchase of select mattresses. Casper.com, code name Rome. Terms and conditions do apply. See Casper.com/terms. Customer experience and product reviews are based on Casper.com, authorized retailer sites, and Google as well.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Devin Bush coming up momentarily. Dell Small Business Technology Advisors can recommend tailored security solutions like servers, storage, networking, and right now you can get 45% off select business computers with Intel Core processors. To speak with a Dell Small Business Technology Advisor, all you have to do is call 877-BUY-DELL, 877-BUY-DELL. Got to get the ATP in a little bit later on. Next segment, Kurt Suzuki, Nationals catcher, pride of Cal State Fullerton, a 2019 World Series champion. I'm flying to New York tomorrow to be on the NFL and CBS on Sunday morning. Major UFC match in New York, in fact. Masvidal and Nate Diaz going to headline that event. Other good fights on that card. All of that and Alvy's week that was, which I'm thinking about dropping in there. I'm also thinking about giving you your phone number as I'm efforting my next guest. 1-800-636-8686. Things that I did not get to would include Rutgers softball. They may dodge a scud. All right, we are joined right now by a linebacker for the Steelers. He had five tackles in Monday's win over Miami. The AFC Defensive Player of the Week after the Chargers game. 59 tackles, a sack, three passes defensed, two INTs, four fumble recoveries this season. He was an All-American. He was the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year, the Linebacker of the Year, the 10th pick overall in 2019 out of Michigan. Indianapolis is at Pittsburgh on Sunday. That, of course, is a CBS game. Devin Bush is my guest. Devin, it's good to have you back. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Good, man. Good to have you. So you're coming off that win over Miami where the defense had a number of huge plays. As a guy from Florida, how much fun was it to be playing in Miami on Monday night against the Dolphins?
We played at Heinz Field.
Exactly. I meant them, though, yeah. To play against them.
Nah, it was cool, though, just playing, you know, against the home team and actually being out there in the atmosphere on Monday night. So it was definitely a good one.
Got me on a misspeak. Nice job. Devin Bush joining us on the program. Listen, there is so much talent on that defense. How would you describe the mentality of that Steeler defense and being a part of it?
Yeah, very stout. That's the demeanor we're going with every game is, you know, we're going to challenge these offenses to come in and week out and play football. You know, we're not going to give them anything cheap or we're not going to, you know, blow any assignments and beat ourselves. You know, we'd rather you go 100 yards against us, you know, making plays rather than us giving it to you, you know.
Stout's a good word to describe that. You know, defense has always been such an enormous part of the Pittsburgh Steelers. When you know the tradition of toughness and physicality there, what's it mean to you then to be a Steeler and even more specifically to be a Pittsburgh Steeler linebacker?
Yeah, you held to a different standard. Obviously, like you said, man, just the toughness and, the, you know, just going out there and knowing that defense is what thrives this team and to go out there and be able to make a statement and set the game off and set the tone right week in and week out. You know, it's a new challenge every week, you know, with whoever you're playing. But at the end of the day, you know, the job is to go out there and be the best defense that day.
Steelers linebacker Devin Bush, my guest. You know, after that first preseason game, Mike Tomlin said the way you played in that game, quote, was kind of reminiscent of Ryan Shazier's performance in his first home preseason game a number of years ago in terms of production and getting around and making a number of plays, end quote. I mean, that's extremely high praise. What's your reaction when you hear your game compared to Shazier's?
Yeah, definitely high praise to be compared to a guy like Shay. Obviously a Pro Bowler, a great player. And, I mean, it speaks volume. You know, it's on your motivation to keep going, to keep getting better and growing in different areas as the season goes.
You know, he texted you personally after you were drafted to say congrats and to let you know that he's there for you. You're obviously your own guy and you're your own player, but what did it mean to you to have him reach out to you the way he did? And then what was it like to have him around during camp?
It meant a lot. You know, he didn't have to do that. You know, Ryan could be a guy, could be, you know, very selfish, especially in his situation with what he's dealing with. He's like, you know what, I'm focusing on myself and I'm trying to do this for myself. But, you know, he was all in. And, you know, since day one, he's always been in my ear and always been in my back pocket. So, you know, it meant a lot to me to have a guy like that in my corner, you know, that only wants the best for me.
Devin Bush, my guest. I mentioned in the open that you were named the Defensive Player of the Week after that Chargers game, and I'm talking to you right now, and even back then at that time, you sounded pretty matter-of-fact about it, saying, look, I was picked to do a job, so I'm doing my job. How do you make sure as a young guy that you go about approaching that job without trying to do too much when you're doing the job?
Yeah, I think it's the week of preparation. Just knowing what you can and cannot do and learning your assignments during the week and the game plan to get comfortable with it. And at the end of the day, just flying around, making plays, man, and having fun.
You know, a big part of that transition from college to the NFL is learning how to take care of your body, learning how to approach that thing as a job, because it's now a job. From the outside, it seems like you've done a really good job of trying to of getting this thing done and figuring it out pretty quickly. What was it like to make that transition and to transition into it being a job?
Yeah, it was a quick transition. It was one you had to learn fast because everybody's good. Everybody's really good. And the thing that makes you really valuable in the NFL is being available. You know, you can't be reliable if you're always hurt or you're not, you know, performing up to your potential at all times. So having your body right and making sure your body's your main focus is a big part of being a professional.
Hey, when you and I spoke back in January, we were talking about your time at Flanagan High School in Florida. A few weeks back, you were back at school and you had your number retired. Hey, man, I'm no genius, but if I do my math right, 4 years ago, you were playing for Flanagan. You led them to a state championship. Now you're starring for the Pittsburgh Steelers. You had your number retired there. I mean, does that whole thing seem kind of surreal to you, or is this pretty much the way you drew it up and what you expected?
It's surreal. it was surreal. I mean, I never expected to have my jersey retired, you know, so quickly. And, I mean, I think it's just a testament about the legacy I left there, you know, at my high school and the things that we done there. So, I mean, I feel like, you know, I'm just super honored to even have that opportunity.
So what was your time at Flanagan like, and what does that community mean to you personally?
Personally, that community meant a lot to me. Just the people that come in and come out of that area, you know, a lot of people have a lot of potential, especially in sports, coming from South Florida. and a lot of guys that don't have the opportunity to play at the next level and to do the things that, you know, I'm doing now. So to be able to give these younger guys hope and an example and a role model, you know, it means everything. So I'm putting that weight on my shoulders and holding that standard very high for these younger guys to chase their dreams as well and do the same things.
Devin Bush, my guest. Listen, I think that you're a young guy who understands that the main thing is the main thing, and you get that. You're already making an impact on the field, but you're also making an impact because of your style, your sense of style, and also mm-hmm. your hair. Like, dude, I'm not in any way disrespecting this. Like, the main thing is the main thing, but you're getting a lot of attention for your hairstyle. How would you describe your hairstyle?
Yeah, it's me. I think my hairstyle kind of describes me. You know, I never been the regular guy. You know, I've never been the follower. I've never been the, hey, I'm going to do it because he did it. You know, I'm only going to do it because I want to do it and it interests me. So, I mean, my hairstyle is, I think, one of a kind, and it just goes to show that, you know, I'm the guy to go left when everybody's going right.
You're going to zig when they zag. It's smart. He was the 10th pick overall in 2019 out of Michigan, Indy at Pittsburgh. He is having a huge year. He was a Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year, a Linebacker of the Year, and an All-American, Devin Bush, my guest. Hey, Devin, I know there were some scheduling deals and your schedule changed. Thanks so much for coming on the program and making that work.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Great talking to you. Appreciate it very much. He is a great player, great young player, and fully understands what it means to play not only in that town, on that defense, but to play that position. In that town, on that defense. Alvin, totally up to you. Before we have Kurt Suzuki, it is Friday. The best segment of the week is Alvin's Week That Was. I got to find a way to get this thing in.
It's the World Series!
Go! Wake up!
Wake up!
Wake up! Wake up!
Welcome to the jungle, and a very good Monday to you. My name is Jim Rome. You know I'm live, you know I'm in Southern California, and you know I'm hyped to be here. All right, so Monday morning, lots to talk about coming out of yesterday, such as...
Everywhere, like, such as, and...
Joe freaking Flacco.
Yeah!
Joe Flacco was ready to bleep some stuff up and take some chances late in the game, but apparently the Broncos coaches would not let him.
We're like afraid to go for it in a two-minute drill, and it just feels like we're kind of afraid to lose the game. It's third and five.
Are you going to tell me that guy's not elite? Oh, man, that was elite.
We're a 2-6 football team.
That was elite.
I'll just be brutally clear. Zero thought of throwing a football.
If you don't trust your quarterback and he's right not to trust him, then find somebody you do trust. Bench the Trubisky.
Bench the Saul.
You understand me?
Vikings running back Alexander Mattison is joining us. So you and Dalvin Cook really seem to feed off each other really well.
Oh, man. If you ever see us around, we're joking around with each other. It's a big brother, little brother relationship. It's awesome.
Rodgers tries to get rid of it, and it is caught. Touchdown,
Even
Packers.
At this juncture of his career, you know the guy's going to do something that you have never seen before, and he did it again right there.
That was incredible. Plays that kind of leaves you speechless.
And as good as that game would have been if Pat Mahomes was playing, I'm not sure it could have been any better. Charles Robinson joining us. All right, let me ask you about the Browns. What's your reaction when you hear Baker Mayfield say their issue seems to be consistency, discipline, and a lack of accountability, end quote.
It's like the holy trinity of the death spiral. You're talking about three things that all lean heavily on the coaching staff.
I mean, that's game five of the World Series. I've pitched through so much crap in my
We're all just a bunch of...
You've got a few whining little babies in this
I don't want to get tired. I need my 60 goals. I want my 60 goals. You're all just a bunch of...
I've pitched through so much crap.
They brought the house and they paid dearly for it.
I want to be aggressive. We can second guess a lot.
I'm going to second guess it, third guess it. I questioned it the second I saw that thing play out.
I don't have any regrets on the call.
That is an all-time terrible call.
Bad call.
The Red Rifle...
Red Ryder BB gun.
...is probably like, man, we're not good. Happy birthday to you. Thank you, everybody. And then out jumps Ryan Finley from the cave. Surprise! The job is mine. Give me the rock. That is cold blooded. Richard Yergin.
I no longer had control of the wheel. When I think back on it now, you know, God took control of the wheel. Everything that happened, I walked out with no scratches and just a broken neck. I realized it could have been much worse.
So we knew each other when you were just getting started, and I'm really proud of you two, the way you have conducted yourself. I talk about the true good life and the work ethic and being there every day, and you're a perfect example of that. You've had to work very hard to get where you are right now, so I'm very proud of you.
We was cavemen. I've been the hardest caveman out there.
And I'm here for it. I don't care where Nate fights, who he fights, when he fights, or even that he's the underdog in this fight. If Nate Diaz is out there, I'd pay good money to see it.
I'm not surprised, motherfucker.
And Yolchek joining us.
And I think for me going through this, even when I was at my darkest, I was at peace because everybody most important in my life knew how I felt about them. And that helped me get through.
The Washington Nationals are the world champions.
The Washington Nationals stayed in the fight, won the fight, and they did so by KO.
Dude, I got to give mad props to the Nationals.
We are joined again by Cliff Floyd.
It seemed like it was a little surreal for them at the moment. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. Well, they're the prime example of that one.
Hey, Head, bad enough to be flossing up that $1,000 winner, but you're also looking for a day off? Bro, you currently work one day a week, and now you want that one day off.
JK's head looks like a big-ass thumb with hair.
And Matt, stop making jokes about Belly Clarkson, dude. You're fatter than Belly Clarkson. It doesn't make sense.
Being fat makes me the most qualified to crack on my fellow fat and ugly geeks. You chubby chaser.
You can't spell mangina without Manuel and Gardena.
Me and my Boston posse hanging out on yachts with chicks we score at the captain's parties and the Cheetah Lounge.
You scored with, quote, chicks, or you paid for those chicks?
Paid for.
Good to have you, Ron. How are you?
And this morning, I'm sitting here watching the best-looking sportscaster on TV radio, and let's face it, only Tiki Barber comes close.
Do I even need to say it? Rack him!
Touchdown! You know, most of the people saying this stuff are just, you know, people.
They're 8-0. They act like they're 4-4. And they're not looking for your respect. They're just going to come and rip it from you.
Feels great, baby.
Fight Clock is brought to you by... Oh, my God!
Burning.
Magical!
I was a mucker and grinder.
Every time I come in the kitchen.
Always great to be on the show.
Not one drop spilled.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it.
Hey, did you know what?
Josh Red...
Goodness gracious.
Good night now!
There it is. Javi's week that was. Had to get to that. Always have to get to that. When we come back, efforting Kurt Suzuki, Nationals catcher and a World Series champion. It's a good way to end the week. Before I get there, I do have a sports update. Welcome back. Jim Rome wrapping it up. Big, big day here in the jungle. ATP brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Ask the pros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. As promised, we are joined right now by a catcher for the Washington Nationals, a World Series champion, an all-star, a college World Series champion at Cal State Fullerton, a second-round pick back in 2004 out of Cal State Fullerton. Kurt Suzuki is my guest. Kurt, it's been a while. It's good to have you back. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
Man, Kurt, there are so many things that I would like to talk to you about, but let me start right here. It's been about 36 hours since you won the World Series in Game 7. How is life right about now?
Oh, it's crazy, man. It's surreal. It's been a pretty busy 36 hours, that's for sure. I mean, you know, it's just surreal. I mean, it's a dream of as a kid is to be a World Series champion. I mean, especially, you know, once you get to the big leagues, it's like, I mean, that World Series, hoisting that trophy, playing the last game of the season, it doesn't get any better than this.
Well, not only that, but your journey to this point is absolutely amazing, and I'll get to that in a minute. But after the road that you've taken to get here, does it feel the way you thought it would? I mean, is it sinking in still, or does it feel the way you thought it would feel?
You know, I don't think it even sunk in yet. I mean, don't get me wrong. I sit around every time at night once the kids go to sleep, and I talk with my wife, and I say, man, we're world champions. Like, can you believe it? I mean, it's like, unbelievable. I mean, you watch teams celebrate. I mean, I've been in the big leagues for 13 seasons, and every year it's been you watch teams celebrate, and you just kind of think about how they feel right now. And now being in that position right now, it needs time to settle in because it's been such a whirlwind, such a grind of a season. But, you know, don't get me wrong, it's a great feeling.
Kurt Suzuki is joining us. You know, I'm going to skip ahead of that because you mentioned your wife. If we were to go back, you walked on. you walked on at Cal State Fullerton, your wife Renee, who was a volleyball player at Cal State Fullerton, and the two of you have your kids, and you've been living the Major League Baseball life for quite some time, but there's the mental grind, right, of being away from the baseball. There's the physical grind from the family. There's the physical grind of being a catcher. And, Kurt, the story goes that at one point during the 2016-2017 season, you thought about retiring, and she was very hard on you, you said. She was like, what are you doing? What do you remember about that time? What did she say, and what kept you at it?
Yeah, it was, I mean, you know, like you said, it's a grind, man. And, you know, being away from your family and, you know, not being a father or a husband, you know, for, what, 8 months of the season, it's really hard. And that's 2016 season. I just finished up with the Twins, my last year with the Twins. And, you know, heading into that offseason, I think I was about 2 months shy of 10 years in the big leagues. And, you know, it was a while. I mean, no offers, no interest, nothing. And I'm just kind of sitting around at home, and I just said, okay, this might be it, you know. And I was kind of okay with it, you know. It's like, you know, I just want to be home with the kids and all this kind of stuff. It was a rough couple years, you know, my wife, you know, health-wise with the baby and all that kind of stuff. And we finally got the call, and, you know, my agent told me that, you know, Atlanta has offered us a contract to be in the major leagues. And I told my agent, I remember this vividly. I told him, is it even worth it to go out there and be away from my family? And he's like, what do you mean? And he's like, listen, you decide what you want to do and let me know. So I called him back later after talking to my wife. She said, what are you doing? She said, your goal was to get to 10 years in the big leagues. You're 2 months shy. You have an offer, a chance to put on a major league uniform, and you're going to say no? She goes, we'll be fine. She goes, trust me, we'll be fine. Take the offer. Get your 10 years. We'll be fine. And I remember calling him. I said, we're going to do it. And we went. And, I mean, that was probably the best year of my career numbers-wise. And led to another year with Atlanta to the playoffs, and then led to a 2-year deal here with Washington. Now I'm a World Series champ, and, you know, my wife should deserve all the credit for that, because I was that close to retiring, and she made me go back, and now I'm a World Series champ.
What a great story that is, Kurt. In fact, when you started that off, when you said that you were sitting with your wife after this went down, and we just said, we are World Series champions, we are world champions, I could see where you would describe it like that, because she had such a prominent role in that. Kurt Suzuki is my guest. That's amazing. So when you look at this team, like from the outside looking in, the way you guys interact, the way you guys pick each other up, the way you celebrate home runs, it seems like the chemistry in that clubhouse is absolutely amazing. You've been around the game your whole life. How special is that clubhouse? How would you describe the attitude inside that room?
Oh, man. It was probably the best atmosphere clubhouse-wise that I've ever been a part of. I think we had so many veteran guys, I think, that we're almost embracing that role of, nowadays you don't see a lot of old guys in the game. You know, it's they turn to a lot of young guys. And, you know, once you get 31, you're past your prime and all this kind of stuff. And we were embracing that and we were enjoying it. And, you know, I think that, you know, bringing guys like Parra in, Rodney and Asdrubal Cabrera in, like those guys that have been around for a long time, have been through the ups and downs and understands the grind of a game and keeping the clubhouse loose. It was awesome to mix in with the young guys we had, the Sotos, the Robleses, the Turners, those type of guys. It was just a good mix. And, you know, obviously in the beginning of the year, we started off slow and a lot of new faces, and we're still kind of trying to find ourselves, click, and we were unhealthy. Like, a lot of guys are hurt, and we just kind of stayed with it. And we understood that there's going to be a time where we all click, and then we're just going to take off. And we did. And it was just, after that, it was, I mean, you saw, I think we had tied for the best record in baseball since middle of May, and it was phenomenal.
Kurt Suzuki is my guest. Again, Kurt, there's so many things I could talk to you about, but we're going to run out of time. But I want to ask you this. You suffered that strained right hip in Game 3, and you were going to play in Game 7, but before the game, your hip did not respond the way you'd wanted to, and you told Dave Martinez that you couldn't play. It was one of the most unselfish things that I've ever seen, really, in sports. When Max Scherzer heard that you couldn't go, he came to you and he said, quote, I love you. You've been instrumental for me all year. I've got this for you. Then Gomes said to you, I'm going to take care of this for you. What did it mean for you to hear that from them, and then how much were you able to help them prepare for the game?
It was kind of the story of our season. You know, it was It wasn't about one person. It was about all of us. And we picked each other up all season. It was, whether whoever's name got called, you did the job. And that game right there, I was doing all this treatment. I was getting, my hip was just getting crushed by the trainers just trying to get me on the field. We were doing everything we could to get me on the field, and it just wasn't responding. I just needed time off, and I wasn't about to put myself out there in a situation like Game 7 when I got 25 other guys in that locker room trying to win a World Series, and I'm going to, because of my ego, I want to play Game 7, go out there, potentially cost the team the game because I just want to be out there when I wasn't 100%. It just didn't feel like the right thing to do. It wasn't. I wouldn't have been able to look myself or my teammates in the mirror in the eyes after that if something happened. And I just went in. I made that decision with the training staff, and you know, Max came in and we shared a moment together, and he said, "I got this, bro." And Jan came in too and said, "He said, Zook, you know, we love you like a brother, man." He said, "We're going to take care of this." And we all collaborated and created this game plan. And I watched this game tentatively. And, I mean, they did such a phenomenal job of grinding through that game. It was such a fun part to be a part of. It was awesome.
Incredible. Kurt Suzuki joining me for another moment or so. So you've been around the game so long, Kurt. You've seen some amazing performances. When you consider that Scherzer couldn't even dress himself a few days earlier and then's out there grinding his way through more than 100 pitches without his best stuff, how impressive was that, and how do you explain that?
Nothing surprises me with this guy. Competed against him for 10 years. Now to be able to be on his side and see what he does to prepare himself, how he prepares himself, how he competes out there every single day, nothing surprises you on why he's a three-time Cy Young Award winner, all these all-stars, no hitters. It doesn't surprise you what he does because of the competitor he was. And when his neck was hurt, he couldn't even move. This guy, I saw him, he couldn't even move. And I said, man, he's done. He's done for the year. And just talking to him, I had this inkling that, man, he's going to come back. I said, he might look like this, but he's going to rise from the dead, and he's going to come back and pitch. And sure enough, game six, after the game, he said, get me to game seven, I'm playing. And I said, what? He said, I'm pitching game seven, let's go. And I was like, boys, we win this game, we're winning the World Series. And Stras went out there and just unbelievable, just dealt, was unbelievable. Once we won that game, we were so confident going into Game 7. It was awesome.
He did rise from the dead. So, Kurt, when you're in a situation like you were and you weren't necessarily offensively doing the things that you wanted to do, although you'd always had success against Justin Verlander, to jumpstart your team the way you did by jumping ship, what did that mean to you? What did that feel like?
Oh, it was what a great feeling. You know, I was joking around. I said, let's see how many games we can win. If we can win the World Series and I can get zero hits in the whole postseason.
Wow.
I mean, jokingly saying that, but kind of serious. But at the same time, they're like, hey, man, you keep putting up zeros. That's all we care about. And I just came up in that moment. I said, just do something to help the team win. Like, please. And, you know, I got a pitch to hit and I hit it. And it's been so long since I barreled up a ball like that, it felt like, that when I hit it, I couldn't even believe it. And it, when it went out, I was running the bases in shock. Like, I just hit a home run in the World Series to put my team up in the seventh. And it was such an unbelievable feeling. It was awesome.
Dude, you're the best. Really quickly, I'm in the area, Kurt, so I understand what it means to play at Cal State Fullerton. Like, both my kids play travel ball, high school baseball in this area, and there's coaches all over the area from Cal State Fullerton. I got about 60 seconds. You are a world champion right now, but what did it mean to you to represent the Titan family, too, and to play your ball there?
Oh, it's the best. Titans, you know, once you're a Titan, you're always a Titan. And I talk to all my teammates, coaches. I still talk to them on a daily basis. These guys, we all keep in touch. We're a family, and to me, it's the number one college team in baseball because of that. It's not just winning championships. It's about family, and you come together as a family. And it was an awesome experience and something I'll never forget.
Kurt Suzuki. Dude, that could not have been a better conversation, Kurt. I appreciate you very much. Congrats. You earned it. What a great way to share that with our audience, too. Kurt, thank you very much, man.
All right. I appreciate it, man.
That was great, Kurt. Really good. How many guys out there have been using their wife or their girlfriend shampoo? Your hair is different, so do them and your hair a favor. Get your own. Dove Men Plus Care has created a range designed to give your hair the care it needs to stay strong and more resilient. Available at Walmart. Damn, that was a show. That was a day. My thanks to Kevin Byard, Trey Flowers, Devin Bush, Kurt Suzuki, the XR4TI especially, you clones. I will be on the NFL on CBS on Sunday, 12 noon Eastern, 9 Pacific. Have an amazing weekend. See you then.